Good morning. Welcome. It's good to see you guys. We're so glad that you're here. And maybe you picked up on the fact this morning, I don't know, that we're talking about a party this month. The theme of what we're looking at in December is how to throw a great party. And last week, we talked about a guest list. When you're throwing a party, one of the first things that you do is make a guest list. And so last week, we talked about Be My Guest. And we really talked about in terms of our investment in other people, it's not just an invitation list. We're not just inviting people to church, as Mark talked about earlier, but it's an investment list in our lives. There are people that we want to invest in. And we defined the party last week as life with Christ. We're building up to the party on the 24th, and we just went ahead and defined what the party is. The party that we're talking about is life with Christ. So when we begin to talk about how to throw a great party, we begin to think about all the other people in our lives that we want to be a part of that party, that we want to come to the party. And that happens best not just by inviting someone, but also investing in people's lives so that when we have invested in people's lives, when we offer the invitation, there's credibility. There is something that people can see in us that would want to make them respond, to want them to know Jesus like we know Jesus. So that's what we talked about last week. What we're talking about this week is the hostess with the mostest. Now, what we're talking about this week is for you and I as host and hostesses, how do we use what God has done for us, what God's given us in the gift of hospitality to show Christ to other people? How do we show hospitality to other people? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about hospitality. What is hospitality? Well, I'm going to go ahead and define it for you right here at the beginning. Hospitality is this. It's welcoming people into our homes and into our lives to befriend them. That's hospitality. Now, maybe that's something that you just do naturally. It's very easy for you to think about people and always wanting to have people over to your home or inviting people into your life so that you can host them and you can bless them. It's kind of second nature for you. For some of us, it's not. And so what we want to do is look into the Word today and see what the Bible has to say about hospitality and how it applies to every person in here. It doesn't matter if you're in middle school, high school, single, or married. It doesn't matter if you're an extrovert or an introvert. It doesn't matter what your life situation is. The Bible has a lot to say to us about hospitality. A lot of times we don't think of that. A lot of men don't think in terms of hospitality or hospitality being a gift of ours. But we're going to look at what the Scripture has to say this morning. Jesus had a lot to say about hospitality. Just last week, we looked at Matthew. When he accepted Jesus' invitation to follow him, what's the first thing that he did? He went and threw a party. And what did Matthew do? He threw a party. He invited the men, the guys that he worked with. He invited other tax collectors. And the Scripture said he invited sinners. Now, in the Scripture, it'll have that in quotation marks because that's what the Pharisees referred to those people that Matthew had invited to dinner. Sinners, which that's all of us, that's all people, but he invited people who didn't know God, who didn't know Jesus. He invited them to his house for a dinner party, and he invited Jesus along with them. So Matthew is one of the first people who shows us what hospitality looks like. He had people into his home for the purpose of them getting to know him and getting to know Jesus just a little bit better. Luke chapter 9, Jesus was teaching about 5,000 people or more, and he showed hospitality. He didn't send them away when it became evening. He invited them to sit down and he asked his disciples to serve them food. Serve all those people food. And there was enough left over to feed many more people. Jesus showed hospitality. The Good Samaritan, when he found someone along the side of the road who had been beaten by robbers, he took him and he bandaged up his wounds. He put him on his own animal. He took him to an inn. He paid the innkeeper to take care of the man who had been beaten up. And he said, if you spend any more else taking care of him, when I come back, I'll reimburse you for anything that you spent. That's hospitality. That's taking care of people. That's being like Jesus to other people. The prodigal son, the lost son, when he came home, his father said he'd been gone for a long time. And his father said, bring him a good ring and put it on his hand, and bring him the best robe and put it on him, and bring him sandals to put on his feet so that his feet will rest, and kill the fatted calf. We're going to throw a party. We're going to have a feast. He was showing hospitality and invited all of his neighbors to come. Jesus, the last meal that he shared with his disciples was a meal that he made sure that there were preparations that were made, and he washed his disciples' feet. What did Jesus show? He showed hospitality. He showed an interest and an importance on other people. The scripture is very specific to say that he made preparations for them to come. And then the third time that Jesus saw his disciples, after Jesus was crucified and he was resurrected, the third time he appeared to his disciples in his resurrected body, he invited them over to the coast. They were out in a boat, and he invited them over to the coast because he had prepared breakfast for them. Jesus showed hospitality. Luke 7 says that Jesus begins to tell, a Pharisee has Jesus into his house, and Jesus begins to lecture him on what a bad host he is. Because, Jesus says, there's a lady who came in who was a sinful woman who anointed Jesus' feet with perfume and who stood behind him because she felt like she was unworthy, and she worshipped him, the scripture says. And Jesus says to the Pharisee, who was indignant that this lady was doing this, he says to him, since I've been here, you've not washed my feet. You've not given me a kiss. You put no oil on my head. You've been a bad host, is what Jesus was saying. You haven't shown any hospitality. And you and I, you can think of places where you've been that you've just been blessed by good hosts, and then there's people who've been bad hosts. I can remember going to a relative's house with my family, and she asked our family, she said, would anyone like some coffee? And several people said yes, and she said, well, I guess I'll have to make some. You know, you've experienced that kind of bad hosting. What is hospitality? Hospitality is this. It's welcoming people into your home and into your life to befriend them. That's hospitality. Theologically speaking, practically speaking, spiritually speaking, biblically speaking, what is hospitality? Hospitality is this. It is a reflection of the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. When you and I extend hospitality to someone else, when we invite someone into our home and into our lives to bless them, to serve them, to care for them and listen to them, and to listen to what's going on in their lives, when we do that, we're showing what Jesus did for us. What did he do? The scripture says that Jesus... Sorry. I have trouble with this the last couple of weeks. I'm very sorry. I'm going to mold it. I just need to implant it, don't I? I just need an implant. You know, kind of like a Botox injection or something just right in my face with a speaker on it. When you and I show hospitality, we were praying about this earlier. Mark mentioned this. We've sung about it this morning. Jesus, God in his own initiative, issued an invitation to us. He came to us looking for us. He sought us out and he said, I want to love you. I want to bless you. I want to invite you into a relationship with me. I want to serve you. I want to give you everything that you need, even the things that you don't think about. I want to be that for you. When you and I invite someone into our home and we make preparations and we say, I want to listen. I want to love on you. We want to laugh together. We want to enjoy each other's company. We're showing the gospel of Jesus because we're saying, I want to be a blessing to you. That's what hospitality is. Now, why is hospitality needed in our culture? Listen to this by this guy, Robert Putnam, who wrote a book called Bowling Alone. He says, our nation has experienced a significant decrease in hospitality, community, and friendship over the last 25 years. And this is what he says. That's the social activity, he gives some statistics. The social activity of playing cards together is down 25%. Maybe not in this church, but the social activity of playing cards together is down 25%. The frequenting of bars, nightclubs, and taverns, pubs, where people came together to catch up at the end of their day, when people came together to fellowship and talk about what was going on in life before they headed home for the day, down 40%. The number of full-service restaurants is down 25%. The number of bars, coffee bars, luncheonettes is down 50%. But fast food restaurants are up 100%. As more people eat alone and eat more meals in their cars. Having a social evening with someone from your neighborhood is down 33%. Family dinners are down 33%. Having friends over to your home is down 45%. From 1985 to 1999, the readiness of the average American to make new friends declined by 33%. Now, I don't know how you measure all of that, but the message is this, is that we're living in a culture, and we know that we hear people talk about how busy we are, and information is just at our fingertips more than it's ever been, and we feel like to give our children a meaningful existence, we've got to overcompensate and have them involved in absolutely everything that goes on in life. We know that. Nobody has to tell us that. But what's happened is it's affected our relationships with other people. It's affected our relationships with people in the neighborhood. It's affected our relationships with people at work. It's affected our relationships with people at church. Hospitality. God calls us all to hospitality, and it's easy to feel unsettled about it. Especially in this culture, when Martha Stewart's the example. And she lays out how to do a gourmet meal for 50 people that only takes 6 months preparation. You know, that's intimidating. When you and I watch HGTV and DIY, Do-It-Yourself Network, and the Food Network, and we see all of these great plans, and you're thinking, do it yourself. I want somebody to do it for me. I don't have time to do it myself. And so we start looking at all that, and we go, I'm getting some good ideas, but now I'm starting to feel overwhelmed because I don't think I can be that. I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can live up to that model of hospitality. But thankfully, our guideline doesn't come from culture. Paul says in Romans 12:13, practice hospitality. That's what he says. But know this, there's a difference between entertaining and hospitality. That's sometimes where we get confused a little bit. Entertaining has to do with planning and acquiring resources and managing an event. That's entertainment. Hospitality is inviting people into our lives, sharing with people, letting people know that they're, when they come into our home, that they're a part of our home. That's hospitality. They're New Testament glimpses of hospitality, powerful illustrations of hospitality. Those first century Christians in the book of Acts who showed hospitality. It's going to be up here on your screen, Acts 2, verses 46 and 47. Look at this. Acts 2, 46 and 47. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread together, where? In their what? Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread together in their homes, and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Now look at that last phrase. This is what we talked about last week. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You think there's a connection between hospitality and making out your investment list? People coming into the kingdom? Acts 5:42 says this. Day after day in the temple courts and from what? House to house. They never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. 1 Corinthians 16:19 says this. To the church at Corinth, Paul wrote, the churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord. And so does the church that meets where? At their house. That's what the Scripture says. The temple remained the focus of worship. But the home was where intimacy and care for one another, that's where it happened. That's where it happened. And it's all through the New Testament. So, how do we show hospitality? Listen, this is for every one of us. How do we show hospitality? Four things. First one's this. First one, how do you show hospitality? Make the time. Make the time. We need to stop using time as an excuse. It's one of the probably one of the biggest hindrances. We feel like we just don't have the time. We make the time. Judith Couchman, who writes for Discipleship Journal, she says this: I've learned that when it seems I can't afford the time to invite people in, and I welcome them anyway, these gatherings have ranked among my most satisfying. When I felt like I didn't have the time. It can be as simple as adding an extra plate at dinner for a guest that some family member wants to invite over. It could be reserving every other Saturday to have people in your home. Something as simple as that. And we begin to see that not only are we being a blessing to the people that we're inviting into our home, not only are we listening about their lives, not only are we laughing, not only are we having conversation, but as we share life together, they're being a blessing to us because we're sharing life together. They're doing for us as they open up their hearts and their lives, and we learn from them about what God's doing in them. We see the joy in their lives. We hear their laughter. We hear the stories about their children and how God's been faithful, and we hear their struggles. It's a blessing to us as well. Second thing is this: not only do we make the time, but, and this is a big one, we give up the notion of perfection. We give up the idea of perfection when it comes to having people in our home. If you want to relax about hospitality, we have to give up the idea of perfection. Having guests in our homes, having guests in your home means this. Now, why do I keep saying home? The reason I keep saying home is hospitality is inviting people into your home and your life to befriend them. Okay? You can show hospitality by taking someone to lunch. You can show hospitality by slowing down and listening to someone that needs to talk. You can show hospitality by not just being about my agenda, but actually asking a question to someone else. You can show hospitality by just pausing and just having fun with someone. You can show all those ways of hospitality. But why am I talking about the home today? That's what we're going to talk about today is the home. The reason we're talking about the home today is your home is an extension of who you are. And I can invite all the people I want to lunch, and I can have them over to the office to talk, but not until people step into my home do they really know. It's when people step into your home that they really know that they've been invited to be a part of your life. Your home is an extension of you. Now, I learned that early on in marriage. And guys, if you haven't learned it yet, you need to learn it. Especially your home is an extension of your wife. And your home is an extension of your family. And when you invite somebody to cross the threshold of your house, you're saying, you're invited into my family. Now, when any time that you host, when we give up the idea of perfection, when you host people in your home, there are always going to be hiccups. And if you and I will just relax and know there's always going to be hiccups, there's always going to be things that are going to go wrong. You're going to invite people over for potluck and they're not going to bring their dish. And you're going to, people are, or you're depending on their dish and they show up 30 minutes late. You know, they're going, your kitchen plumbing's going to back up. Things are going to get spilled on the carpet. You know, glassware is going to get broken. Things are just going to happen. When you have overnight guests, when you have weekend guests, people are going to get sick. Your family is going to get sick. Your Christmas tree is going to fall right before the party. You're saying, "Don't tell me that." It happens. It happens. I remember a home that we, as when I was a college minister, and we would do a progressive dinner at Christmas time, and we would go to three different homes. And each was a challenge to find homes that could accommodate that many students. And a couple of years, we had a family had hosted our progressive dinner, and we had gone to their home twice. And I remember not long after they had hosted us the second time, she said to me and to someone else, the lady who had hosted us, she said, "You know what? College students are so much nastier and messier than even teenagers are." I we weren't breaking chairs or anything. It wasn't like we were having a bar fight or something. But for some reason, the idea of perfection, everything had just been kind of thrown off kilter. Well, you know what? I don't want to be in that kind of home. You know, I don't want to be in that kind of home. I want to read this to you. This is the, when we think about the idea of perfection, now this is a party checklist, okay? This is from Better Homes and Gardens. This is BHG.com, all right? This is the party planner checklist. This is what we're to do 1 month ahead for a formal party and 2 weeks ahead for a casual gathering. Decide on the date and the place and the style of the party. Make your guest list. Plan your menu. For formal parties, mail invitations. Casual parties, mail invitations or telephone your guests. I guess that's like a white trash Christmas party. I don't know what that is. We don't mail you an invitation. We'll just call you up. Not white elephant. We're going to have a white trash Christmas party. You got to decide what table settings you want. You got to decide what decorations you want. You got to decide if you want centerpieces, and are you going to make them yourself? 1 to 2 weeks ahead of time, you telephone your guests again, for those who've not responded to your invitations. You do preliminary house cleaning. How many of y'all do preliminary house cleaning? You know, as if you do it, you know, there's preliminary and then there's a final class. There's preliminary house cleaning. You compile your grocery list. You don't forget ice. You check that you have enough table linens. And if you need to rent things, you make preparations for those. You make sure you have enough tableware and serving pieces. If you need to order special flowers or order meat or seafood, you do that. If you need to make some foods ahead of time and freeze them, now you need to do that. Now, 2 or 3 days ahead of time, this is what we do for the party. After you return from shopping, you go shop for your stuff, and then you recheck, you go back down your grocery list, and you make sure that you didn't forget anything, and you recheck your recipes to make sure you didn't leave anything out. And then 1 day ahead, this is what you do. You re-clean the house as necessary. Golly. And then you decorate for the party. You decorate if it's a theme. And then you prepare an area for coats and umbrellas. And then you arrange to set your table and serving areas. You thaw frozen items. And then the day of the party, which it says, let's party. On the day of the party, you go over the house again for a final cleaning check, okay? If necessary, you move furniture. And we all us guys love that. And then you prepare the foods according to your timetable so that everything will finish when it's needed and come out hot for your guests when they arrive. Potluck sounds really good at this point, doesn't it? You make sure all foods and beverage are to be served cold or well chilled ahead of time. And then 1 hour ahead, you put all the finishing touches on the meals and tables. You clear a spot for placing used dishes as guests finish with them. You set out cheese and non-perishable appetizers for snacks if you're using them. You open your wine if serving. You set out remaining appetizers and snacks. You light your candles and you turn on your music. Now, man, that's a lot of stuff to do. Now, if you look at that list and you start reading that list and you start really getting into Martha Stewart and you start thinking, man, I need to be like that. It can overwhelm you. The idea of perfection, of having that, you know what that is? And this is a good thing. You've thrown parties that this is what you've had to do before. We were joking about it, but some of you have thrown parties like this. Penny and I have thrown parties like that where we had to do a lot of work like that. A lot of those things. We had to plan way ahead of time. There's a lot of guests and there's nothing wrong with that. But that by itself is entertaining. That by itself can be overwhelming. True hospitality is not about fussing. Luke 10:40 says this, when Jesus went to visit Mary and Martha, you know what Luke said? Luke said this, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And it's not saying, hear me say this, it's not saying that you don't ever fix a gourmet meal. It's not saying that you don't decorate for the party. It's not saying that you don't really clean your house when guests are coming over. Because when people come over to your house and you give them your best, it communicates that you care about them, doesn't it? But we just shouldn't be distracted by the preparations of getting in way of the hospitality. Does that make sense? We don't allow the preparations to get in the way of showing hospitality to someone. I went to visit some friends not that long ago, and I flew into their city, and they came to the airport and picked me up. And I know this lady. She is a hostess. She is a Southern hostess. She's a good cook. She's a good housekeeper. She raises wonderful and beautiful children. And so when we got to the airport, and I was so her husband picked me up, and when we went to their house, I was looking forward to seeing her and seeing their kids. And when we walked into the house and walked into the living room, there were toys absolutely everywhere. They have a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old. I mean, there was toys galore everywhere. And when I walked in, I felt right at home. You know why? Because what that said to me was this. And these are people that I knew they valued my presence. They knew they valued my visit with them. What that said to me was this. We want you to become a part of our home. We want you to step in and join life right where it is. And I was so comfortable being there. You know, I just took my shoes off and put them up on the, and we just had a cup of coffee and sat and talked for a while in the midst of all the chaos. Is your home always perfectly cleaned and have you always thawed the items 2 hours ahead of time? You don't always do that. And it's okay to do that. It's when perfection becomes more important than people. And we miss time with people. We have people in, even when the dog is barking and the kids are loud and the food didn't come out just right and you forget something that you were planning on serving, you forgot to pick it up at the grocery store. It's when all those things don't work out and you're okay with it anyway, because the most important part are the people that's there. The third thing is this, not only make the time, not only just give up on perfection, but the third thing is this, be yourself. Be yourself. There used to be a sitcom that came on a long time ago. It was called Ellen DeGeneres, and she was a shopkeeper. She was a bookstore owner. And Martha Stewart visits the bookstore for an autograph signing. And through that, Ellen is inspired to be the hostess with the mostest. You know what I'm saying? And her style was more to, it was the TV tray with the remote control. That was kind of her style of preparation. And so what she decides to do is she decides to throw a big party. She invites all of her friends over, and everything's a disaster. The food is not ready. The guests have to wait for hours. The meal becomes a wreck. And Martha Stewart shows up as an unexpected guest at the party. Everything is ruined, and Martha Stewart picks up the phone and she orders pizza and drinks for everybody. And in one of the last scenes, Martha Stewart is there on the couch with Ellen and all of her friends, and she says, "Sometimes the smartest thing to do is to just order pizza." That's just being yourself, you know? That's just the smartest thing to do sometimes, because it's about the people. It's about the people. Be yourself. Do what comes natural. But so for a lot of us, what happens is all these hindrances get in the way. Those hindrances are the ideas that we have about hospitality. Some of those hindrances are these. That I need to be super creative if I'm going to host people. And we think about other people we know that are super creative. We go, "I'm just not that creative. I don't know. I just don't think I can do that. I'm not a good cook. I'm just not a good cook. I don't think I can have people in that." And maybe you're not a good cook. That's okay. Be yourself. Order out. You know, maybe you're not that creative. You don't have to be. You can buy a deck of cards. That's fun. "Well, I don't have a lot of money to throw an elaborate meal." You know, you've been to somebody else's house and they just pulled out all the stops and you think, "I don't have a lot of money to do that." And so it hinders you. "I don't have a large home to host a lot of people. My home is limited in size, and I would love to have 6 people. I'd love to have a dozen people. I'd love to have 25 people, but my house is just really not that big." Listen, don't let those things stand in the way. Just be yourself. For Penny and I, some of the most meaningful times of hospitality that we've ever had in our marriage was the first couple years we were married. And we lived in Fort Worth, Texas, and we were both in seminary, and we lived in a triplex. Maybe like 900, less than 1,000 square feet. Triplex means you share a building with two other families. And we had the little part that was in the middle. And we worked with students at Texas Christian University in Fort Worth at TCU. And we worked with those college students. And we would have them into our home. And most of the time when we had them into our home, we served tomato soup and grilled cheese. And they loved it. They loved it. We were inviting them to come into our home. And we had fun and we laughed. And sometimes we shared. And we shared it about each other's lives. It wasn't the tomato soup. It wasn't the grilled cheese. It wasn't the square footage or our lack of creativity. It was the fact that they had been invited into our lives out of a dorm room, you know, out of the cafeteria, to someone who was thoughtful enough just to heat something up on the stove and pour it in a bowl and say, here it is, and let's spend some time together. The most meaningful times of hospitality. Another hindrance. This is a hindrance for single people. I can't host people because I'm not married. I'm not married, and so you have to be married to show hospitality in your home. My friends and I used to use that excuse all the time because our role was to receive hospitality, not to show hospitality. And when I get married, that's when I will begin to show hospitality. And my only hosting was, doing the 30-minute cleanup right before your parents arrived to your apartment or your dorm room. That was the extent of it. Those are the only people we had over, and we just cleaned up 30 minutes before they came over. But those are the hindrances sometimes. Be yourself. Be yourself. Your home, your place, just you. Fourth thing is this, and the last thing. Not only be yourself, not only make the time, but focus on people. I've said that all through that, but it's all about people. People are the focus. It's about listening and caring and laughing and having fun with people. Listen to Jesus' words. Luke chapter 14. This will be on your screen too. If you want to turn your Bibles, Luke chapter 14, verse 12. Listen to this. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Remember what we talked about last week? We talked about making an investment list. Making an investment list of people who don't know Christ, people who are in our lives, family, friends, neighbors, people at work, and thinking about ways that we can invest in their lives. Jesus says this, invite people into your life that you don't know that well. Now, it's the most natural thing in the world for you and I to want to spend time with. And it's one of the best things in the world for you and I to spend time with the people that we know the best, the people that we love, the people that are important in our lives. It's not an either or. Jesus didn't say don't spend time with your friends. But what did he say? Put an emphasis on having people in your home who are not in the kingdom yet. That's what he said. So it's not just an either or, it's a both and. And for some reason in our lives, and like I said, it's that one of the natural things, we begin to just spend time with friends. Everybody does that. And as Christians, it's because we want that fellowship. We want to be encouraged and we want to get to know other people. It's wonderful to host other people in our homes. We want to do that. We want to be that kind of church and care for each other. But Jesus says, don't forget those people who are not in the kingdom. What is hospitality? Hospitality is this. It's inviting people into your home and into your life to befriend them. We all need people. Listen, this is not just for believers. This is for everybody. We all need people to care for us. We all want to be a part of a family. We all want to have friendships. And we want people to care for us and to care for other people. Everybody. Let's be that kind of people. Would you be willing to invite people into your home to show hospitality? Would you be willing to invite people into your home to make them the priority, to be willing to laugh and have fun? Would you be willing to have people in your home and take the time to listen? Because you know what? It's easy sometimes to throw an event and the event's over and it felt empty because we were just busy with our preparations. Would you be willing to have people in your home for the purpose of befriending them, caring for them? And you'll receive as well. Would you be willing to do that? Let's pray together.